How could that happen? The Martin Joseph I encountered was pure and godly. Jesus says to the Ephesian church in verse 4, "Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first." At some point, Martin Joseph gave up loving Jesus, and everything else followed on from there. That's what we're dealing with this morning. How not to backslide as Christians. You'll remember the context of this letter or letters, this book of Revelation. It's written to seven churches who are experiencing persecution under the Roman Emperor Domitian around 96 AD. The Apostle John is imprisoned on the island of Patmos because of his Christian life. And Jesus comes to him in all his glory to show him that he is God, that he is in control. And Jesus speaks these seven letters to seven churches, the first of which is to the Ephesians. And what we have to understand is that the Ephesian church is a good church. If you move to Ephesus, people would be saying to you, "Oh, you must go to Christ Church Ephesus. You'll get good teaching there. You'll grow as a Christian there." But that is not enough. Externally, everything is well with the Ephesians. Internally, they've stopped loving Jesus. They've started loving something else. And unless they change and address the problem in their heart, they will end up like Martin Joseph. Let's listen then to these words of Jesus and see if they have any relevance to us. These headings are on the backs of your notice sheets. We're going to see what Jesus praises, what Jesus exposes, what Jesus commands, and what Jesus promises. Firstly then, what Jesus praises. Ephesus was a key Roman center and cultural center. It was a tough place to be a Christian. It was a place of great immorality. It was an outstanding religious center. It was the center of the Artemis cult, as in Acts 19. And so the Ephesians have done well to remain pure and outwardly faithful to Jesus. Verse 1, to the angel of the church in Ephesus. Angel means messenger. Perhaps this is written to the pastor of the church in Ephesus. We don't actually know. These are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. The seven stars are the seven angels of the churches. I'm inclined to think this is referring to pastors. And Jesus walks among the seven golden lampstands. The lampstands are the churches. Jesus is present with his churches. Isn't that wonderful? He's not far off. He is present. Now verse 2, I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. Those are good things. Good deeds, hard work, perseverance. I would be glad if people attributed those things to me. Moreover, I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people. Good. That you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. That is a very good thing. We all need discernment, the ability to work out who are true apostles, what is true gospel truth, and who are false apostles. We're inundated with rubbish teaching, particularly on so-called Christian TV, but also on the internet. So the ability to discern apostolic truth from falsehood is a very important gift. Verse 3, you have persevered and endured hardship for my name and have not grown weary. What a church! They've endured hardship for Christ. They've not grown weary. I'd like to know what their secret is. This is an impressive church. I wonder how we respond to this. Hopefully, this is an encouragement. Jesus sees your hard work for him. He sees it. And he is pleased. So be encouraged. But secondly, let's look at what Jesus exposes, verse 4. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. It's a familiar story, isn't it? A young couple are in love. It all starts so passionately. They want to spend every minute together. They both think the other is wonderful. And then the love cools. They stop prioritizing their relationship. They stop spending time together. They begin to focus on each other's faults. It isn't that they woke up one morning and decided they didn't love each other anymore. Their falling out of love was the product of years of selfishness, years of putting number one first instead of putting the other first. It's like that with Jesus. Martin Joseph didn't become an ex-Christian overnight. He talks about a period of 10 years in the song. And it's the same for all of us. We stop loving Jesus when we stop spending time with him. We stop reading his word. We stop praying. We stop serving. We become irregular in church attendance. We give up on home group. The key issue this morning is, how is your heart? Are you loving Jesus? Are you fanning the flames of love by spending time with him? Or are you pouring cold water on your love for Jesus with sin, with neglect, with willful rebellion? I don't want to give the impression this morning that the Christian life is about rules. The Ephesians were keeping the rules, but they didn't love Jesus. How is your heart? How is my heart? Do we love him? Well, thirdly, look at what Jesus commands. Verse 5. Consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. Can I invite us to do that? Have we fallen? Was there a time when we loved Jesus more than we do now? If so, repent. Do the things you did at first. Remember how you loved him. Remember how you couldn't get enough of his word. Remember how you wanted to be in church. You wanted to give up your time to serve him. Do the things you did at first. Now, there'll be two kinds of mistakes that people make listening to this. Some will think, oh, I'm fine. I'm an impressive Christian. This doesn't apply to me. The other mistake is to think, I must be lost. Jesus must have rejected me. The correct response to Jesus here is not despair. It's not to give up. It's not to conclude that we're damned. The correct response is verse 5, repent. If we're like these Ephesian Christians, if we've stopped loving Jesus, the thing to do is repent. Say sorry. Come back to Jesus. Admit our sin. And what does Jesus do when we repent? What does he do? He forgives us. Remember 1 John 1, 8 and 9? If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word is not in us. So it's very simple. If we're aware of sin in our lives, and who isn't? We should admit our sin, confess our sin, repent of our sin, turn away from our sin, saying sorry, and committing ourselves to pleasing Jesus. And then, when we fail, we say sorry all over again. And every time, Jesus forgives us because he died on the cross. He took the punishment for all our sin. There's no more punishment for us if we belong to him. So come back to him. Put your trust in him. Trust him to save you from hell for heaven. Jesus said in John 6:37, all those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. Are you worried that you're too sinful, that you've sinned once too often, that you're too bad for Jesus? You're not. You have come to Jesus. The Father has given you to the Son. You have come to him. He will never drive you away. Get hold of that. He will never drive you away. You are secure in Christ if you will only come to him and repent. However, if you will not repent, verse 5, if you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. Now, it's very important to understand this is talking about a whole church, not an individual. Christians get worried. Will Jesus remove my lampstand? No. If you want Jesus, if you come to him as you are, he will never drive you away. But if we, as a church, stop loving Jesus, our lampstand will be removed. Just look at South Wales. When I was growing up, South Wales was full of churches. Small villages would have an Anglican church, a Baptist church, a Presbyterian church, a Methodist church, and possibly several other churches. What are those villages like today? They're spiritual deserts. Most of the churches have closed down. Their shops, warehouses, pubs, nightclubs, houses. Jesus has indeed come and removed the lampstand from its place again and again. We should not assume that Christchurch Baldock will be here in 100 years' time. Jesus will be faithful to us, but we together must keep loving him. We must nurture our relationship with him. And that brings us fourthly to what Jesus promises, verse 6. One thing in the Ephesians' favor is they hate the practices of the Nicolaitans, which Jesus also hates. We don't know what these practices were, but they were obviously bad. It's a good sign that the Ephesians were against this. But this alone will not save them. They need the grace of God found in Jesus. Jesus promises, verse 7, whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Are you listening this morning? Not to me. Are you listening to Jesus? To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. In other words, Eden is restored. Paradise is no longer lost. Are you a victorious Christian? Not a perfect Christian, but victorious in the sense that you live for Christ. And when you fail, which we all do, we come back to Jesus for fresh cleansing. And tomorrow, we begin again. Are you victorious like that? If so, you have the right to eat from the tree of life. You will live forever in paradise. May angels lead you into paradise. Upon your arrival, may the martyrs receive you and lead you to the holy city of Jerusalem. May the ranks of angels receive you, and with Lazarus, once the poor man, may you have eternal rest. Those words come from Fauré's Requiem. The problem with a Requiem Mass is it can bring no assurance. The person is already dead. Their moment to turn to Christ is past. But you are still alive. You can turn to Christ. You can pray this for yourself. Paradise and rest are open to you. The question is, do you want it? Do you want Christ? Do you want salvation? Do you love him? Let me end by telling you the story of Robert Robinson, not the BBC presenter, Robert Robinson, the 18th century vicar, poet, and hymn writer. He was a great man. But rather like Martin Joseph, after many years as a Christian, he gave up on Christ and resigned as a vicar. He moved to France. Spiritually, his life completely fell apart. He was now ignoring Jesus. One night, he was riding in a carriage when a lady got in. Now, this lady was a good evangelist. She got into the carriage. She immediately struck up a conversation with Robert Robinson. And she said to him, "I want your opinion on this poetry." She read it to him. "Come, thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy praise. Streams of mercy never ceasing, calls for hymns of loudest praise." When she looked up, she saw that Robert Robinson was crying. "What do I think of that poetry? Well, the thing is, I wrote it," he said, "many years ago, but I have drifted from Jesus and I cannot find my way back." What would you have said? This is what the woman said. "Don't you see? The answer is in your poetry. Streams of mercy, never ceasing. These streams are flowing even here in Paris tonight." And that night, Robert Robinson committed his life to Christ. Can I say to you, my friend, this morning, streams of mercy are flowing in Baldock this morning. Come back to Christ. Don't conclude that you're too far gone. Jesus will never drive you away. Come back to him. Rekindle your first love. Repent of your sins. Tell him that you love him. And then live for him. Make time for him. Make time for his word. Make time for prayer. Keep fanning the flames of love. And may each one of us live for his glory. Let's pray. Moment of silence for each one of us to do business with God. Maybe for the very first time, you want to say to Jesus, "Please be my Savior. Please be my King." Or maybe you want to come back to him and say sorry for letting your love grow cold. So here is your opportunity. Father, thank you for your word to us today. We confess that all of us, to a greater or lesser extent, allow our love for Jesus to grow cold. That moment in the day when we choose to sin instead of choosing to love and obey him. Father, that's not love. That's hatred for Christ. and we are sorry. We commit ourselves to loving him, to spending time with him, to serving him and pleasing him. Please help us. Thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit. Thank you that he lives within us and gives us the strength to live for Christ. Please, would this be our experience then in the coming days? And we pray for our church, Lord. We pray that Christ Church will be flourishing in 100 years' time, that many people will find Christ here amongst us. Thank you that Jesus walks amongst the lampstands, that he is present with us. Thank you, Lord. Amen.